This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
To the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining us in studio, safety for the UNC Bears, Miles McClarity. And I dig up the podcast. We did that. Was that 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago we did that podcast. And you were in with me for like over an hour. Mm-hmm. And we really got into like your whole story and everything that went into it. So if you just search the whole show archive podcast, whatever, search Miles McClarity, and you'll be able to find that pod. And it was fantastic, man. You were awesome to listen to on that.
I appreciate it. It was, I've done interviews and stuff like that about my whole journey, but that was the first time I really got to like go in depth about more than the surface level. Like, what was it like? Like, who helped you? Mm-hmm. Like, I really got to get in depth about what happened. So it was nice.
Well, you can see kind of how like this show, it's pretty fast paced. We got to move quickly through it. Podcast kind of gives us that opportunity to sit down, and there's really no time constraint on it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really, once in a while, I really value those types of conversations.
Yeah. It felt good to really get some of that, because I think about that stuff all the time, just the time I spent in the bed and in the hospital. Mm. And it was nice to really get those.
Once you got out on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And then to go back and kind of just document that, like that process too.
And like bring up things that I forgot about. It was nice.
Yeah, man. So you and I were talking shop a little bit, a little NBA. You're a big NBA guy.
Yes, sir.
But we're also like, you're like me. We love the NBA. Mm-hmm. We're not quite sure why we love the NBA. Because there's some issues with the NBA. And I don't think it's really the All-Star game or the cup that's hurting ratings in the NBA.
I mean, I think the NBA is just at a transition point to where the sweetheart time with Adam Silver is over. Mm-hmm. The transition from David Stern is over. So Adam Silver has to really cement what he's going to do for the league, and I think he hasn't really figured that out yet.
But. Well, and you were like, you know, I was with Adam Silver when he became the commissioner. Like the first thing he had to deal with was your Clippers fan was the Donald Sterling stuff, and he handled that as perfectly as you possibly could.
Lifetime ban. That was
lifetime ban. The way he came out and said, "I am banning him." For, like it was epic. Mm-hmm. And then it just seems like now. We get in the weeds with so many different things that I look at and I go, like, is that really the epidemic in the NBA that we think it is? Or is it really just, it impacts like two or three franchises a year?
I mean, tanking, you have to tank. I mean, it's hard to be bad consistently and then not get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're bad, significantly worse than other teams, and you have to keep playing, and you can never get down to that number one spot. If you're like a 10-11 seed type team, then you're just doomed. You're in mediocrity forever.
You're stuck. Like, even if you're a playoff team, mm-hmm. sometimes we've always said, like, if you get a 7th or 8th, before the play-in stuff happened, 7th and 8th seed, neat, you're in the playoffs, but you're going to be stuck there for a long time.
You're going to get a number 15 pick in that range, and I mean, you can get good guys.
But you can.
It's harder to find franchise-changing top echelon guys at that range.
Yeah, the percentage shot you have of getting a guy that changes your... Like, not very often do you see teams get a Nikola Jokic in the second round that nobody knew was going to be a stud. You get lucky once in a while, but the percentage chance of that happening is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, Miles, spring ball's coming up for you, man. Got about a minute here. People can come out and check you guys out, dude. And I love that. It's really open. Mm-hmm. Coach Lamb, I think, prides himself on that and allowing people to come check this team out.
Yeah, it's nice seeing just people from the community just wanting to see what we're up to. They'll come watch scrimmages. Practices are always open. So it's good to see that we have some interest in the community.
It's moving too. There's more interest as we grow with this thing too. Mm-hmm. This won't be the last time we hear from you, my friend. We know we're going to do this again.
Yes, sir.
Let's keep in touch, and we'll be in the meantime, man. We'll be rooting for you. I cannot wait to see what you have in store for us next season.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck with the Clippers. You know, keep that playing spot. Yes, maybe they do something crazy.
Yeah, Thunder. Thunder don't want to see
Just go knock them out. I would love that.
We're going to do the league
Let's
favor.
Let's do the league a favor. Let's have the Nuggets and the Clippers in like the second round, and we'll have some fun with that, man.
Yeah.
All right, dude. We'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post coming up next. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening at 1310 KFKA.
Killing Me Softly time with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. I want to get into Sean's story about the Broncos and, that trade for Jaylen Waddle. We'll get into that a little bit. But, Sean, man, we had a tale of two teams last night. Two nice wins for both the Avalanche and the Nuggets. But one, hey, that thing was over after the first period. And then the other took us down to the stretch when it felt like maybe it could be over a little bit quicker. But either way, it was a nice Tuesday night for our Denver teams, my friend.
It was, my friend. Happy afternoon to you. And they're ramping it up, which is good. As we talked about, this is now, we're over the dog days. This is build it up because the two best playoff sports, playoff brackets in North America are coming up in 3 weeks. So let's crank it up. And, good on both teams. I saw more of the Nugs at night than I did Avs in the early evening. But having seen personally what the Penguins did to them, good to get a little payback on the other side a week later. And I think all signs are relatively good, even though the way the Nuggets finished was kind of, as has been their wont, schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Which has kind of been them for the last 2 months, where it was like really good 20 minutes and a really you'd hang on for dear life. But they closed. They finished, and we didn't have a MacGruber moment. Everybody kind of held together, and the room didn't blow up, so that's good.
I know you noted that a week or two ago about the clutch gene and what their record is in those clutch games, so that's another one at least that might make us feel a little bit better about the upcoming playoffs. Is Jonas done? I mean, is Jonas Valanciunas, are we not going to see the big man play in the playoffs? Because every his minutes were going down to now pretty much no show the last few games.
I think we're going to see a lot less of a minute. It depends on the matchup. I think we are starting to get a preview now. It's going to be week by week, pending. And you've got to figure out how you're working Peyton Watson into that. Again, they got to win without Watson, which clearly is a big defensive difference based on a one-game indicator when he's back in the rotation. But, Jonas, I know this. I've done one Spurs game up close here at home and a couple of Thunder visits, I think both of them, up close. And I don't know that I like him in those games. Let's put it that way. And I think he's always been a rotational player. He's been a great depth piece. But now you have to start playing matchups and thinking about matchups in the postseason. And I don't know that it's going to work against anybody, but they've started to tip their hand that if David Ottman likes that small ball lineup again with Gordon at the five, I think we could be looking at that. I think it's going to depend on the team and the matchup, but I know I don't, and this is disappointing because he's a good guy, he's been a good fit, and he's been a good soldier for what they wanted him to do as well, which was, in the case of Valanciunas, restrict the minutes for Joker. Now, his injury ended up restricting some of his minutes too in the time of month or whatever he was away from the floor. But playoffs are about matchups, and I know this, he doesn't match up with the top two seeds very well at all.
Oh yeah, no, and that will. I'll be really curious to see kind of how this all breaks down once we get into the actual playoffs. And you know, with Jonas, like you said, it's going to depend on what that matchup might look like. But you got to wonder where his head is right now. I mean, is he still happy with his current situation, or is he like, man, it would have been so? Where did he want to go? Greece in the off season? That was the big thing. Like, you know, wonder if he's wondering about that a little bit.
Yeah, Pathinaikos.
Yeah,
whatever it was. Yeah, I can't imagine he's happy with it now, because the coaches aren't going to lie. The front office isn't going to lie to him. This is, you know, expletive or get off the pot time as we go forward. So I think that's, I can't imagine he's thrilled, but it's going to be a week to week. And there are going to be moments, even in these nine games left, whatever it is, that you're going to have to figure out where you can use him. And maybe there's some other stuff lying behind the scenes as well. It's complicated. And we'll have to keep an eye on it, because it certainly is been a bit of a real disappearance relative to where he was before. You don't just kind of fall off the face of the earth just because Peyton Watson comes back. So put a pin in that one. But hopefully they're able to have some flexibility with him and some other guys to go big or go small going forward. Again, as the matchups go, because that was the point. That was the point of building the depth.
Yeah.
Is that when you're fully there with 10 guys you like, and ten of them are playable, unlike a year ago, to be fair. And even Strother's had some moments, and certainly with Watson's emergence, that helps. You wanted the point of this was going to the postseason to be able to mix and match against Oklahoma City team that rolled to a title, because it could mix and match and could just beat you in waves. So now you've got to try to do that yourself.
Sean, sometimes I can let the hooligans dictate where we want to go with the show. I got a texter coming in wanting to know specifically about a Luka Doncic thing. Can you ask Mr. Keeler why Commissioner Silver has dropped Doncic's 16th technical foul for the third time, preventing him from getting suspended? I thought that was interesting, but it sounds like maybe the guy was a little too personal with Luka, and that's why he reacted. I don't know. That's a weird one.
Yeah. Well, first of all, can I get a T-shirt or a button that says "Hooligans"? I want, or a hashtag.
Well, we're gonna work. We're working on new T-shirts with the finish of the race and everything
that
too.
Is
so
marketing gold. You
yes.
gotta run with that. We're, I love that
we try. You know, we try.
Look. It's a star league with star rules. Luka Doncic is a star. And if I know one thing that's never changed, you know, the NFL, we have to remember, wherever you are politically or personally, the NFL is all about money. That's the only color that matters to the NFL is green. And the only thing that matters to the NBA is having their stars out as much as possible for as long as possible, which has something to do with some of the MVP voting parameters as well, right? I mean, the league values their box office stars more than anything, even being correct on a call, even being fair, even being just from a win-to-loss standpoint. It has been that way. That's how they built themselves up the last 50 years as a child of the 80s. Is riding those stars. So that's my short answer to your texture, and that it's not fair, and it never has been. And Luka is a star. Luka will be treated differently than, say, Alex Caruso, if that makes sense. Although that's a bad example, because the refs have decided that Oklahoma City is full of stars and won't ever call fouls on them. So who knows?
Isn't it odd? Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, it is, though. But am I wrong?
No.
Like, that's the league. Like, you just know. This is not legally, if this was a court of law, they are the filthy rich, are those superstars, and they get away with everything because the league wants its superstars playing and active, because that's how it sells its advertising and its brand, period.
Yeah, no, I 100% with you on that. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, joining us. I loved your story here. It kind of scares me, though, talking about, you know, how good the Broncos were in those clutch moments last year. Ridiculous. You flip the script on the other way on all those games, and yeah, they're not a playoff team. And that's why, of course, you're kind of doubling down, making that case for as to why the Broncos made that trade for Jaylen Waddle.
Well, yeah, it's about, you know, a lot of talk about the 11-2 in close games and those 11 close wins, which tied an NFL record. Again, we've talked about this on air and off. this is still a really good football team. And this is a football team where the floor is insanely high. And that's great. And that was the point of having a Hall of Fame coach and hopefully a burgeoning franchise Hall of Fame quarterback, because you solidified those things that just had been gone for a decade. And had eluded you. So I was just curious, you know, some of these ideas, where does he come up with? Where does his brain work? I was just curious what the typical regression was for teams. How far did they fall back of the four teams prior that won 10, again, very rare, 10 or more games by one score or less? And Chiefs, obviously we have two very recent examples of the 2024 Chiefs and the 2022 Vikings. They fell off a lot. Something like between 8 or 9 games. Obviously the Chiefs last year was a pretty stark case study and had a lot of mitigating factors. So you tend to fall off. The I think the other one was the 78 Oilers won 10 one-score games, and then the 2019 Seahawks won 10, and they actually improved by a game. So you have two big drop-offs and two mild increases. I don't think anyone, even the orangest of orange-colored glasses, thinks this is going to be a 15-2 football team. Maybe it is, but it's highly unlikely it's a 15-2 football team next year. But the average fall-off is about 3.3 wins. And with a first-place schedule that you're going to be playing, and all the stuff that gets ramped up, doesn't that sound like that's where this could end up?
Sure.
Like, as good as they are on paper, like, they could be a better team on paper than a year ago and be 12-5. Just because those breaks, they just don't fall for you the same year after year after year after year. But even an average drop-off, you're still a playoff team, and you might still be a division winner. So I think that's kind of the good news. You can check it out at denverpost.com. I've got Jake Plummer talking a little bit in there. I'm just curious kind of why that doesn't carry over, and he offered a few insights very briefly as to why it doesn't. But that's up at denverpost.com. But the main point of it is that you expect a just regression. It's just that historically that's what's happened. But because you have enough depth, theoretically, you brought so many people back, and you've added a potential Pro Bowl type talent to your skill position on top of that. That's why you do that, because you are going to have to start making your own luck, which they did a lot of. But 11 wins, even for Bo Nix, as clutch as he is, in one score games, that's never been repeated. So I wouldn't expect that this time around, and I expect Sean Payton knows that as well. So, you know, win some more games by 8 points or more, 10 points or more, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's what scares me too, is this schedule is a little bit crazier than it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, like everything that had to go the way it went for them to win that Giants game, for example, odds of that happening, like probably not even a 1% chance.
I think you're going to see, and I could be way wrong, and we talked about this too, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if there are more games that feel like that Giants game where you're going to have to outwin some 33-30. That was 33-32, I think. You're going to try to win some 31-30 games more than that Texans game, 18-15, whatever that was. And I could be way off there. They could find a great, and they probably will. They'll find a great inside linebacker in the draft. They'll find a third running back. They'll find another tight end. You know, we all know what we want them to shop for going forward from a depth and a rotation standpoint. But, yeah, there's going to be more of that. And it's a league of that. I mean, these are the best of the best. And you know, they're all, you know, I joke with college football fans, they're all SEC teams. Like, they're all really, really good. And the difference is those little things. And that's why it's so important to have Sean Payton and that coaching staff, and a very good coaching staff here that gives you that edge. At least in theory, and that quarterback that gives you that edge, and now a wide receiver 1A, 1B to go with Cortland Sutton that helps with that edge, because you are going to have to try to probably outscore somebody at some point.
Sean Keeler, everybody, Denver Post. I know you got a roll, Sean. I'm paying attention to the clock for you, my man. We'll let you slide out of here, but always appreciate your insight.
I am your number one Hulligan, my friend.
I believe it. I'm getting you a shirt. We're sending you the shirt.
All right,
buddy.
You.
See you, man.
All right, take care.
Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, from the Denver Post. He also wrote something that was interesting last week. Broncos would be nuts to trade wide receiver Troy Franklin. He outlines all five reasons as to why. Michael, I'm kind of happy with the way the roster is right now. I mean, obviously, you're gonna add depth pieces or whatever, still maybe in the secondary, third markets of free agency and in the draft. But I'm not really crazy about the idea of moving off of Marvin Mims or Troy Franklin or Pat Bryant. I like those guys. And I just think that, you know, having more depth at that position is going to be critical for the Broncos next season.
I absolutely agree. I don't think there's a roster move you need to make other than, you know, get a little more talent on you know, running back and tight end.
They had to make a move like this with Waddle. And Keeler points this out. Check this out, Mike. In 2024 Chiefs, they had 11 one-score wins, 15 wins overall. The following year, a record of 1-9 in one-score games, 6 wins overall. The 2022 Vikings, Brian Gary will appreciate, well, maybe not appreciate the stat, had 11 one-score wins, 13 wins overall. The following year, they had a record of 6-8 in one-score games, and they won just 7. In 2019, it was the Seahawks, 10 one-score wins, 11 wins overall. The following year, they had a record of 8-3 in one-score wins games, 12 wins overall. Still very, they were the outlier there. And then he even goes back to like the 78 Oilers, who had that. So basically saying they had like a crazy season where they were winning one-score games. Basically saying, hey, recency bias tells us that if you are a team surviving that way and you're winning with a lot of those crazy comeback wins or one-score games, it's really hard to follow that up the next year. I don't know why that is, Mike. Is that because the tape is out on you and you're very much, you've developed a quick reputation of they're never done, so you cannot play this like a regular type of team that's down by multiple scores? They're just never done. So maybe you take things a little, you almost play them as if you're down or you're tied in the game, and you just like do the opposite of what the Giants did last season.
Defenses adapt. They adapted to Tebow, you know, going against that prevent defense by running 30 yards. They'll adapt to every, you're right, they'll adapt to every time you have a close. And by the way, a lot of it is luck. A lot of it is luck. You get the right bounce at the right time. You get a guy who makes a mistake at the right time in the fourth quarter, and that happens. The Broncos were lucky this year.
Oh, that's weird to even hear you say that. They're actually lucky this year. That luck actually played a part in,
well,
in that
the other teams
run.
Were lucky that the Broncos were not 17-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worried about it. I'm still, Michael, I'll be honest, like, I'm still one of the rare guys in Broncos country that is on the fence about whether or not Bo Nix is going to be as great as his reputation tells us right now. I think so, but I'll be, is he better than I thought he was going to be? 2 years sample size, slightly better. I was excited about the draft pick, but 2 year sample size, I think he overachieved his rookie year, and I think his sophomore year, it was not fantastic through most portions of the game. Now, is that a Sean Payton thing? Is it a play calling thing? But Bo, obviously, there's no denying that when crunch time hit and win time was afoot, it was Bo Nix that was phenomenal. He was amazing in those crazy, crazy finishes. That's not sustainable. What is sustainable is that you're producing in the first quarters. You know, great teams figure out, you know, we're going to win in different ways. It's not always going to be, we're down 2 scores to start the fourth quarter and enter Bo Nix and let some magic happen there. You're going to have some of those games where you've developed some momentum with that offense in the first quarter, where you are putting up more points in the first quarter. It's just, there's a lot of ways to win in the National Football League. And certainly the way the Broncos were winning last year was one of them. It's just very rare to do it on a regular basis. So I think that's why Broncos fans were very finicky. Just skeptical about what the plan was surrounding Denver. We know they wanted Achane, Travis Etienne, Achane. We know they wanted him. Price was too much. There were a couple of guys on that list that were good and would have made a lot of sense for Denver, but the price was too crazy. And you're thinking, man, the price is too crazy. You just got free of all that Russell Wilson money. I mean, you were bringing in big names like Zach Allen and Mike McGlinchey. And then even last year, bringing in Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw, who didn't work out, you were spending a lot more money when you were handcuffed by Russell Wilson's contract. This year, you're not. So I think that's why Broncos fans were kind of freaking out. But they must have had this Jalen Waddle plan ready to go. They must have been pretty confident that they were going to be able to get this done. Because I still stand by it. Had they not made at least one move like this, whether it was a free agent signing or a trade, I would be a little concerned. But I do think a Jalen Waddle type raises all the boats with their skill players, even the run game. I think it's going to help R.J. Harvey. I think it's going to help even J.K. Dobbins. You know, unless he's a doctor, I don't know how much he's going to help him throughout the course of the season. But I think it's going to help the run game, and we'll see what Davis Webb's all about. It's going to be a phenomenal follow. It's hard to get back to where they were, and it's going to be even more difficult this upcoming season because that schedule is not very friendly to the 2026 Denver Broncos. 35 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We might get some Hooligan hats. John Fort Chapeau. For Hooligan hat, what color and saying on it?
Orange and blue.
No. I mean, it's got to be the actual colors of the whole show, Mike.
You should change the whole show to orange and blue.
Which is black and white. Isn't that what it is? It's just black. It's simple, man. We're simple. We're not going to go Broncos. It's not all Broncos on this show.
I know, but you should do one that's orange and blue, that's Broncos,
you're,
and then one
obsessed.
That's Nuggets.
This is why people wonder
Avalanche.
if you're okay, because you're just obsessed.
One that's Rocky's colors.
No, we don't
put
need
a big
to
zero
do
on
other
it.
Rock. We don't need to do anybody else's colors, man. It's just our colors. I mean, I don't know why that's
so
difficult.
You're celebrating Northern Colorado and Colorado sports.
Mm-hmm. And we are black and white, and maybe a little bit of blue in there. Apparently, yeah, some blue in there.
And maybe some orange.
No, we don't need any orange in there.
Orange is a great color.
First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. When are we going to get to the point with this salary cap stuff in college sports and where we just call it what it is? And it's just you're going to have to get players won't agree to this though, to unionize or whatever. Where they just are paid for playing football or for playing whatever sport that is. Because this whole salary cap thing, this Nebraska thing with these 18 players seeking arbitration because basically the CSC's coming in saying, yeah, those weren't legitimate NIL deals and we're going to challenge you on that. And that went over, not just Nebraska. Other schools are doing this too. Where they're seeking the help of, they're relying on business partners to help pay athletes with NIL deals that don't count toward the school spending cap. We knew that was coming. Everybody knew that was coming. Oh, there's a salary cap. We'll just fudge the numbers a little bit. We'll just get boosters to throw in more money and have those be little side projects they're working on. Mike, ours are small potatoes, but like the radio shows we do with these players, that wouldn't count toward the salary cap. It's small potatoes, but that's just an example. That kind of stuff doesn't count if you don't want it to. Now, other schools that are having a hard time getting to the $20 million, that's going to count. We need it as much as we can possibly get. We throw it all into the pool. But when you're rich and you have, we threw everything into the pool and we're at $21 million, we're approaching the over limit on the salary cap, and there's still plenty of players to be had, so we'll just create another pot. And that's what they're trying to put up guardrails to prevent that. How do you prevent that? This case we're going to follow closely, because if the players out of Nebraska win, it's still going to be the wild, wild west. Your salary cap says one thing, doesn't matter. You're going to go over that money. If they lose, and these deals are deemed, they're just not like a legitimate type of NIL deal, and you used it to not only induce players to come over, but you used it as a way to cheat the salary cap, then we might start getting a little tighter. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith says, do we need a Pixar on Friday shirt for football season? You Pixar on Friday, everybody knows that. Yeah, we could do that. That would be a good shirt to get.
My picks are on Thursday. Everybody knows that.
Well, okay, yeah, no one cares about your picks. Newsflash. No one cares about yours.
But we should get a shirt for me that says, whole show abused.
I think I'm pretty fair. I think I'm pretty fair with some of the antics that you put me through abused on this program. No, I think everything's been just fine.
Abused.
No, I don't think so. Big one tonight, though, again. Nuggets turn right around, and they'll play the Dallas Mavericks, and they didn't have any sleep. So, Mike, I don't know. I feel like I see a lot of the reporters now that are just like, oh, they only had this much time. Why am I calloused? I just don't care. Because they all got to do it. They're all dealing with it. Everybody's got this schedule in the NBA. It's not just the Nuggets.
You got to get rid of that. The back-to-backs are
so
dumb.
You do have to get rid of it, but I'm kind of getting tired of seeing the constant, the Nuggets got home last night at this time and head to pillow. Their head to pillow was at 3 a.m. and now they got to turn around and play a game. I don't know why. Why?
I think someone came up with that and it sounded really creative, and everybody else was like, oh, that's great. I'm going to use it.
Don't like the head to pillow thing. No more. Stop saying head to pillow.
Head to pillow.
No, just stop. Just report it. Just tell me they got home late. They got on the plane and the plane was delayed, and then they got off the plane and the plane was delayed, and then they got to their hotel room at this time, and that's all we know. That's it. I don't need the whole but Joker got his little head down into his pillow and shut his little eyes and finally got some shut eye. I don't know. I'm just reading it as whining. Because I see it happen with every team in the league. And I also see it in college, too. I mean, CSU's had some of that. Ali Farouk-Manesh had a story where their flight was so delayed, they ended up having just to go back to Fort Collins and then get back on a plane and go back to wherever. I think it was to UNLV. That's why I actually thought CSU was going to lose that game, because they had so many of those weird things happen.
Hey, at least their locker room wasn't flooded.
That was another story. And it, you know what? We can sit here and talk about it, but I just don't want to make excuses for it. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm just reading that and I'm going, oh, that's too bad. They had a delayed plane flight. Okay. Faith says the NBA is a whiny league now. Yeah, but even the reporters are being whiny about it. I just don't care. I expect the Nuggets to go win. I expect them to go beat that Mavericks tonight. Take care of business. I don't care. You're a championship team. What did we learn coming up next?
From worst to
the Athletics get the win in 11.
Just how will this season go for the Colorado Rockies? Hear games right here at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend.
All right, we learned a couple of things. We had Ali Farouk-Manesh on, CSU head coach. I was wondering about Josh Pascarelli. He missed a few games with injury, then played in the Mount West tournament, and then didn't play in the NIT game. And coach said, no, no weird drama there. He's still banged up. It's an ankle still, and it was getting worse again. So no drama there for CSU. And he's optimistic that they can return a good majority of those players. He's not going to give us any details on that. He wants them to be able to announce that. But we'll be looking out for guys like Kyle Jorgensen, Josh Pascarelli, Jace Butler, Rex Steiner. Definitely want to see Rex Steiner back. No question. Rashawn Mbemba. I want the cast back. Also, Miles McClarity, absolute stud. Maybe a future in radio. Love that guy. Great friend of the show's. And I'm sure we'll have him on again very, very soon. And the Broncos, they made a move because they know they cannot live that dangerously again with all the comeback victories. Michael, what did you learn today?
Learned a lot of things. A lot of it off the air. Conversations with Miles.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really cool dude.
Yeah.
He's not my friend, of course. So,
not your friend?
Faith, you could look him up on the internet.
Oh, he's
so
not one of
track
your,
him down.
He's not one of your four friends.
Bye.
He could be one of your four friends. He could be one of your five friends now.
Yeah, he's one of my four friends.
There's Charles.
Does
Chuck.
Does it count if you
Chuck.
Like say it? Oh, that guy's my friend. But yeah. They don't consider you a
Miles
friend.
Miles would probably consider you a friend. He's a good dude.
You're a good dude. Yeah.
Well, you got Jimmy. You got Chuck. You got
Richard.
And who's the other one?
Miles.
No, your other guy. Estevez or something? Emilio?
Yeah, that Emilio Estevez. Oh, yeah. We're tight.
Okay. I couldn't remember who you said earlier. It's the guy you worked at McDonald's with.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. See, I remember some of it. I retained some of that. Jesus. Sounds like a good young lad.
He's a cool dude, yeah.
Out in the world.
He's basically my age.
You know what's cool tomorrow? High school baseball back on the airwaves here on KFKA.
Who's calling the game?
Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick.
Righteous.
It's going to be beautiful weather, perfect for high school baseball. We love covering baseball here.
The only time I don't like rain is when it messes with high school baseball.
I think
because that's really annoying.
Should be good tomorrow, but who knows what the rest of the season will look like. We learned a lot today. Colahoma says, I'll be Michael's friend. Faith says, Miles will be your friend. Look at you, man.
Faith, are you ordering him to be my friend?
Well,
Faith, you will be his friend or else.
Not entirely convinced that's not what happened with Jimmy, but who knows, man. You're making friends, you know, quickly, and it's awesome. Good for you, man. All right, we'll be back at it. What is it? Is this to Wednesday? We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Kevin Lytle's going to join us. He's been at spring ball for CSU. So all that and more. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.